All right. Oh, that sounds nice. Oh, it's been a little while.
Let me undress myself.
Oh yeah, the ASMR, that shit. No, it's been like 2 weeks on.
A bit rusty.
Okay.
Pretty female parts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Pear Pod. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting the last episode. Shout out to Monksy. Good to have you on, bro. Today, we're going to calm it down a little bit. I think that's a nice way to put it. We're going to calm it down. Mm. Want to welcome the founder of New Rhythm Yoga, Luke McHugh. Luke, thank you for joining me, brother.
Thanks for having me over.
Now, TRE has rapidly become like the way I scout out future guests. Obviously, you were one of the... The experts on TRE, and we came in and Wilo and Conor Ryan did some yoga with you. And when I first did it, I kind of thought I had you all figured out when I first met you. I was like, fucking, probably a pretty mellow guy, probably smoked a bit of weed in school, very chill. And then the more I chatted to Wilo, he was like, bro, Luke's fucking done some stuff. Like, he's lived a life. You're going to have a great podcast. So obviously I listened to the 41st View, which was the other podcast I heard you on. I heard some stuff, but I'd rather hear it from your own lips.
Yeah.
Your own soft lips. But first off, we were supposed to do this last week on International Yoga. Was it World Yoga Day?
Yeah, International Yoga Day. Yeah, last Friday.
How surprised would 15-year-old Luke be that he would be celebrating like World Yoga Day? Would that have been something you would have seen yourself enjoying when you were like 15, 16?
No, never.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
I had no idea. Like, I genuinely, that's the last thing I would have thought of.
What was 15-year-old Luke into?
15-year-old Luke was really into fashion. Definitely. I used to love just clothes, like dressing up. I like wearing things that were, I like wearing what I wanted to wear. Mm. At that time as well, I'll be honest, I used to love when people would question what I was wearing as well. Yeah. I find that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Or people would be like, oh, you're definitely gay, this, that, and the other. And yeah. I'm not.
Those lads get the most chicks.
I like to be.
All of us was on the same trackie. All of us.
That's what I mean. Down the tunnels in Time and Art. Yeah. Like, everyone's wearing tracksuits. So I'm wearing like short shorts and a pink fluorescent kind of shirt. You
girls
know?
Girls like, does he fucking know?
Man, a quip of the year every year in school, man. You couldn't beat it.
It's a big rep. Big rep. Where'd you go to school?
Clash of the Heat in Time and Art. It's an Irish school.
Oh, Jesus. So that's probably where the Irish kind of comes into it in your Irish language.
And the Irish has been something as well that I've really, like, I'm so... I always was passionate about it. I always loved it. I always thought it was something that I was lucky to be able to speak and be a part of. And then I went traveling when I was like 20 around Europe through Morocco and stuff. And when you're... staying in hostels, doing it on the cheap, you're meeting so many different people from all over. And because you're in a hostel, you're not confined to your own room. Mm. You have a shared area. You're sitting around. We're chilling out. Like, I don't smoke weed anymore, Ren. But obviously over there, like, you're smoking hash and stuff. So we have these nice communal areas. We're all talking. Mm. People like English people, Scottish people. You have people from Switzerland, Germans, everything.
Bob and Jenny, who's 55 years old. From Brixton.
Yeah, they're loving life over there.
Loving it, mate.
But that's the thing. They're like, oh yeah, so you have the Germans all speaking in German, this, that, and the other. And come to us and like, oh yeah, like, so you speak English? I'm like, no, like, Lemonos Gaelga, Tushima Kaitanga. And people are like, what? What is Gaelic? What is Gaelic? It's like, it's Irish. Like, it's our own language.
Yeah.
From that moment, I was like, this is very special. Mm-hmm. After leaving school, though, gradually went away from it. I just lost it because I wasn't speaking. Unless I'm with the boys, I'm having a few drinks, we're taking the piss out. Do you know what I mean? Like, with people or whatever. And then, I got the opportunity to go back to the Nienra, which is preschool, in my old primary school, where I started. Mm. First place I ever started. Every single day from Nienra, the age of 3, up until 6th class, age of 12, I cried every single day going into school. Once I was in there, I was buzzing. But to go back there now and be able to actually like speak, teach kids yoga in Irish, it's given me the sense of, I suppose, it's given me a reason to be here. Do you know what I mean?
It's like a purpose.
A purpose, yeah. Sorry, in short terms, I'm trying to fill out this little essay. It was a 5,000-word essay. I'm trying to fill it up here, you know?
On the third day.
And it was the best summer ever. Gutubbin.
Isn't it funny that, like, for me anyway, like, when I was younger, I was like, fucking man, the stress, why am I learning Irish? It's not spoken anywhere.
It's taught incorrectly.
Why am I going, for the Leaving Cert, why is this rate the same? Like, I'm not going to get to use this. And now at, like, 30-odd, I'm like, man, it's so sad we don't know. Like, all the culture and stuff that we have is kind of, like, confined now to one part of Ireland. And my girlfriend's family are all, a couple of them live in the Gaeltacht. She did all Irish speaking. They're very into that part. And it's only after like spending time with them that I'm like, Jesus, it would be lovely to have that as part of like day-to-day life. And now it's only going to keep getting pushed further and further away till we don't have that language anymore.
Yeah,
unless people start prioritizing it, you know?
I do think there's a lot, as far as I'm aware, there's a lot more funding going towards Irish speaking schools, as well as that, like they say, it is important for us to have it, because they say like Tiargan Tanga, Tiargan Anam, like a country without a language is a country without a soul. And there's it's the truest thing ever. Mm. It's what separates us from like England, Scotland, Wales. Like it's our own thing. It's something we can be proud of. And I am not gonna go, I'm not this big Republican, blah blah, gone mad, but it doesn't have to be that into it, it doesn't have to be that aggressive. It's just what it should be. We should be spending more time doing it. It's taught. Everybody I know in an English school looked at an Irish class how I looked at maths. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pure, that's rotten. I'm not going near that. The smell of it. But
what was it? You had to learn your fucking prose. It was just stories you had to like memorize and stuff like that.
But it's taught wrong in English schools. It is.
And it's prioritized the wrong way.
Irish schools are doing like I could not be happier with the school I went to. True, like the people I met, the teachers I had, despite me being an absolute, you just put a swear counter on this as well, because I tend to swear a lot.
We fucking kill it here, don't we?
I'm trying to tone it down a bit, because I keep, I tend to shag it out of me a lot.
we're not monetized over here, so we let it ride over here.
But I'm so grateful for everything I've had, despite in the moment thinking I was unlucky, thinking I was so unhappy what I was doing. Mm. And it's mad, man, like time, you just reflect like on things, it's nuts. Yeah, and that's the thing, it's waves, like your ups and downs. Like a good friend of mine always says, no rain, no flowers, like, you know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm gonna, right now, you caught me at, without a doubt, the best time, the best, happiest I've ever been. Mark was content.
Unreal.
Which is perfect. And it, like I was saying in my story yesterday about it, I felt unbelievable 6 months ago on the first podcast ever done. In between now and then, man, I've hit the lowest I've ever hit in my life, beyond what I could even imagine. Losing people, like my own mental battles and stuff, and going, falling back into like heavy drug use, heavy drinking, dissociating, to the past month completely just turn that around and just absolutely going for it. Having this confidence, this, I don't know, this spark again, you know, and this clear vision of what we should be living like, you know, what I should be living like. And I almost feel overwhelmed talking about it, because I'm like,
that's all right. We can go through it slowly.
How was it?
Yeah. I don't know. When I listened to that podcast you did with the lads, you talked a lot on that. You're like, you guys, lads, got me at the perfect time. I'm in a period right now, like a reflective period and all that. And then you look 6 months down to now, you're like, now, Jesus Christ, the back there. So it's day to day, man. It's only what's going on in your day to day.
Exactly.
But like, one thing that I want to go back to, obviously your past and hear your whole story, but one thing did come up that I was just interested in. I was literally just listening to that podcast. You said you were in the process or about to try ayahuasca when you were on that podcast. Did that ever, materialize?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah, I think that's it. It's a personal experience. I don't mind speaking about it personally. For me, the reason why I wanted to do it initially was because
that would be more what I'd be in. I don't mind you not going into exactly what you experienced, but more so the motivation ahead of time.
The experience itself. The reason why I wanted to do it was because I always felt like I was getting somewhere, putting hard work in, and I slipped up. I always had this sense of self, in my face, feeling of self-hatred, suicidal, always, since as long as I can remember. Like, that was always my last thought at night, man. I was like, I want to go to bed. I'm just, I hope I don't wake up. And I said to him, I was like, what's, but the thing, it's not like, oh, wow, poor me. It's my normal. It's people have normal things like that. That's their normal day-to-day thing. So it's nothing different to me. I didn't think that was weird until I was about 17.
And you say it to someone and they go, what the fuck are you talking about?
What, man? You shouldn't feel that way. I'm like, perhaps not. Yeah. I have the steak smothering garlic. Yeah. When it comes to it, I just wanted to, I tried loads of things. And this is what ties back into the yoga. We'll get to that in a second. The ayahuasca was right. I need the last little, it's like the next level up that I just can't seem to get to. Mm-hmm. So I'll try it out. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. What I hear, it's going to put you in a place that's going to shake the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. Or else it's going to give you loads of love.
What did you want it to do? What were you hoping, man, it would do?
To my mindset, I wanted it to ruin me. I wanted it to completely put me in a place where I'm like destroyed almost, man. It's so weird because I thought that would clear me, but ayahuasca, very subtle for me and in my experience. Like the two nights I done it, it was super subtle for me. I did see nice things. A main person in my life since forever is my granddad who passed away in, was it 2011? And I have actually have the date here now. Let me check. 18th of 1st, 2011.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah. He's still dead. But no, he's like such a, he is the most important person I've ever had in my life. And he passed away when I was, 13 years ago? When I was 13, 14, still to this day. And I was with him again. I was chatting to him and I was just present with him. And it just came back to the whole thing of like, just be yourself. Just go with how you feel. And I had to meditate. When I was 18, I was in a bad spot in my head. And I was meditating in my room. Never had meditated before. Just putting the thing, kept meditating. Went through this. I don't know what it was. It's like the front of my head sank to the back of my head. And bear in mind, this time I was like, all I cared about was going out on Friday and just getting out my head, like, and having a buzz with people partying.
Yeah.
But it was in a dark space. Man, I felt the front of my head falling to the back after 40 minutes or whatever. I felt like 2 minutes. And I walked up and I was sitting there talking to him. And he literally was just like, just do you. Just do you. I know that sounds cheesy or whatever, but that's what I kept. And since that time when I was 18, I kept it in my head. My primary focus through the ayahuasca, I wanted to go and speak to him because he's the only person I trust. I find him to be my gut instinct, which is what I believe he is now. I didn't blast off into space. Yeah, I was going through the stars and so on. But then the second day, we got the opportunity to partake in...
Run it back?
Bufal Varius.
Okay, well, is that another...
It's Sonoran toad desert venom, right? I'm not an expert in this stuff, but...
It works.
Yeah, I was like, from what I heard, that's ayahuasca's how my friend explains it. It's a book and you read chapter till you finish the book. Bufal Varius is like straight there, there's no messing around.
It's like a comic version, like,
yeah, exactly,
straight for it. Yeah,
it brings you straight to the point. But the problem with that is you don't have the comfort to ease yourself into it. You're going straight there, so it can, like, you're either going to see hell or heaven. Regardless what you see, you're meant to see it. It's what you need to see at that time, man. I smoked it, and I'm not a big psychedelic nut or anything like that at all. I was always more into like fucking coke, all this party stuff drugs, do you know what I mean, like, stuff that was really bad for you. I thought psychedelics were like, oh, I'm scared of them. They're good. They're not good. They're for people.
Sponsored by. If you're,
yeah. I'm not going to say that, but I smoked that and I lay back and I was blasted off, man, into like this place of just pure heart racing. I inhaled. I surrender to it. Yeah. And I literally was like, poof. And man, I've never felt the sensation of love, the feeling of love, these warm orange, beautiful colors swirling around.
Yeah.
And I was panned out. I felt every cell in my body was like orgasmic.
You're getting that's me going. Here, yeah.
But the thing is, you could smoke it and there's people in the room as well, like who were screaming,
who
were terrified. I was given what I needed, which was that sensation, that reassurance of love. After, man, the self-hatred wiped away. I got up, looked out, it started snowing, man. This is in February, man. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. But the problem with that
give
was...
Give me goosebumps, man.
So it was very good. But what I will say is, from my mentality, my point in life, where is that? I'd been going to an absolute saint of a man. Just reached out to me. I think I spoke to him once before in my life. Asked me if I wanted to go to AA meetings. I'd been going to AA meetings for a month before that. After I smoked that, I had this false sense of confidence that I can go have drinks now. I'm clean, blah, blah, blah.
I understand now, yeah, whatever.
No, man. Yeah. Then it was a slippery slope back to the shit, It is great. It has to be respected. Everybody's experience is different. Everybody's experience is personal, you know?
If we were going to go back a little bit, why was that? For example, with your granddad when you were younger, what kind of things did he do for you that, like, maybe made him stand out to you? Like, what kind of parts of your life did he kind of light up for you?
I think it was my some of my first memories with him were, I just felt safe around him. I felt comfortable. I felt like he is a solid figure who I can trust. He's the only person like, and I hate saying it, but he's the only person I feel like I could actually trust. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'd ask him a question, he'd tell me the answer. Mm-hmm. I'd ask him for advice, he'd give me advice. I'd take that as gospel, 100%. Anybody else say that to me, I second guess it, you know.
And there's a stability with particularly granddads. I never met my mum's dad, and my dad's dad was just like, every day when I came in, he'd just be in his little like purple recliner and he'd go, come in and have a chat to him. My granny be pottering away going mad, but he even when you talk about stability, he'd just be there and he'd be like, what's going on? There's something about grandparents when you're younger, your parents are so busy working and trying to do the best for you, but your grandparents are just there and your priority in a lot of cases that you're their priority, which is lovely.
Yeah, and that's it. My interest in like things that actually excite me, like fishing, fish, cars, like even, I don't know, just the way he carried himself, like, you know, he was just, I don't think words will ever explain. Mm. Do you know? And it's, I think people have their own personal like the end of life as well.
Sure.
Someone I've missed forever, every single day. Mm. Which is mental because I don't know. It's,
what do you feel in terms of when people say they never really leave you and they live on through the qualities they've left in you, and that's kind of the process of life, is like, obviously there's got to be a part of you that feels he was taken too soon, and there's a part of you potentially that could be like, at least he instilled so much in me that I can now carry on instilling my kids and instilling the people around me, you know?
Yeah. I think that depends. I like I said, anything I'm saying is from my own experience, sure, what I've done. The past month, reflecting on the past number of years, 10 years, let's say, or 11 years or so, since I've kind of began my figuring myself out. Mm-hmm. I'm doing him proud, you know, how many, now I can see what he's instilled in me. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was associating from my own mind, my life in general, through my distractions. Mm-hmm. Whether that's healthy distractions, like going running, yoga, Thai boxing, whatever it might be, or alcohol, drug abuse, whatever it might be, you know. Now I know right now I'm doing them proud. Mm-hmm. But at the same time as well, if you're making someone who's dead proud, that's all well and good. Real focus is I want to make other people, not necessarily, like, the only people I really care about making proud are my brother, mm-hmm, my friends, and my family. Do you know what I mean? I'd shout out my brother, Oshin, you.
younger brother?
Yeah, he's daddy.
We're very similar. I have a younger brother as well.
Yeah.
What's the age difference between the two?
He's 19, 27.
Oh, fuck me. So you were, when you were going through your teenage years and maybe those initial years of struggle, he's only a kid, like.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I've realized. My relationship with my family has gotten better. Like, I even have conversations with him. Like, I feel like as of late, we're becoming quite, like, a team. I'm happy to give him advice on what he should do, things that I wish I had done.
Yeah.
He has his head screwed on major, though. If I was in the picture, he'd still be doing daddy.
whenever everyone's like, what are you doing? He's like, no, I've seen my brother's literally gone through the whole roller coaster, so I just know, I know the journey I need to follow now. So, like,
yeah, I'd like that to be the case, but even if there's other things as well, it's like, where'd you go with your life? Like, like when you finish school, when I finished school when I was 18, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Mm. I don't think I really... I don't know if I just didn't listen to my parents or if they even really gave me the advice that I wish I was given, you know, but you can't put that.
Or maybe they didn't know it.
Exactly.
That's maybe they didn't know it.
Like anything you're going through, that's your own responsibility. Yeah. Like, doesn't matter if you're brought up in a broken household, it is hard. Enough work and enough practice into it. Like, you're responsible for your reaction to every situation. Mm. If someone shouts at you, road rage or whatever, you scream back. Do you know what I mean? That's your reaction to it. You're bringing hurt to yourself. Who gives a shit? Like,
you're in control of how you react to it.
Exactly.
You know?
Which is something I've been focused on a lot lately.
Like, when I had Wheelo on, Wheelo is a big proponent of like, your shit's your shit. But at the end of the day, like, we all got to get to where we want to go. And like, obviously Wheelo's had, he's had traumatic past as well. And he's decided that I'm not going to let that stuff define me and be the reason why I don't succeed. Yeah. I'm going to do it in spite of all those things.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, the older I get, the more I kind of realize that like, my age was the age my parents had me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, now that I look back, I'm like, maybe that they're all, I think when you're younger, you kind of put your parents on this pedestal of like, you need to know all this stuff and tell me exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking back and being like, Dad, how are you running the gaff and like giving me advice and raising kids? And now I'm kind of, I almost have more of sympathy for my parents as I get older, and I go, Jesus, man, when you've all this other shit going on and then two kids running around, like, it's difficult. But when you're a fucking teenager, you don't give a fuck, man. You know, you don't care about really anything. I was the exact same. You mentioned something else in the podcast you did about kind of seeing yourself as the person that people could kind of have fun with and be the kind of the clown of the group and be the person that brings everything up. I relate to that a lot. That was definitely me when I was younger, and I felt if people are laughing at me, they're laughing with me. Mm. And as long as everyone is like, I know he's good for a laugh, I'll be included in the group.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, like, essentially that comes down to almost like self-esteem and your own self-worth a little bit. Has that, how did you kind of, one, feel that? And how have you kind of noticed that that's changed with you now? Are you a little bit more secure in yourself
so
now?
Much, bro. I don't like talking to anybody. I didn't realize that, because I don't know if it's looking for validation off people. I don't know what it could be. There's so many little intricate parts of the brain, the mind, and how you work each and every day. As it stands, how I look back on things now compared to then is I've been very focused on my own energy, to the point where I've cut out countless amounts of people. You have to be so, what I've realized, I have to be so careful about who I let in to communicate with me on a daily basis, because personally, right, and this is something I've been, that's ringing in my head every day for the past month, is resistance. It's a big thing. Do you know what I mean? People are like, are afraid to tackle their own shit. They're afraid to try to go a bit further with it. A lot of people offload their worries or sorrows on other people. You can't do that. I don't, that might not be a popular opinion.
And that's a big thing in party life, drug life, when you get in a kitchen, you know what I mean?
You can't do it. And even for the people doing it, you're not resolving your issue. Like, I have a serious, solid group of mates. I used to have hundreds of mates, acquaintances, whatever it might be. Thought it was a dog's bollocks. Newsflash, it's not the case. I've got a handful of friends who I absolutely adore, who are just the best people ever since I've committed my time.
Love you for you.
Yeah. And even like when we're together, it's different. We ask each other for advice on certain things. We'll comfort each other. We'll make sure we're all good. But we're not offloading our shit. You need to work on your own problems on your own. You can ask for help if you're feeling now. Obviously, when it comes to getting to the suicidal side of things as well down the line. But when it comes to your problems, you can't keep crying to the same people over and over again. You have to change it yourself. Deal with your problems on your own in that way, because you're not going to fix it by just offloading your troubles on other people.
Yeah.
And that's something I've found out down the line as well. Mm. I've April, May, they're the lowest months I've had in my life. Mm. I sat, I'd work from home. I'd sit in my bed all day, work from home, the laptop. I'd close the laptop, go to sleep straight away. Mm. For weeks, months, do you know? And I was like, right, what's going to change here now? Sat in silence, turned it around, and decided to actually look at my problems on my own and cut these people out, because you really can't, especially in your 20s, 30s, whatever age you are, you just really can't waste time. Mm. You have to be so precise on who you let in to your energy, to your group, to whoever it is, to yourself, because it has a major impact on what your day is going to end up like. Mm-hmm. If you wake up 6 in the morning, you go running, you do yoga, you go to work, you finish that, you go running again, kettlebells, whatever it is, you're after working for your happiness there. That's what I have to do. That's what a lot of people have to do. We have to work for our happiness. People don't want to get up at 4:30 in the morning just for the crack, do you know? People have to do it because you have to work to be happy, to be stable. And then for someone to turn around at the end of the night and be like, oh, life is so hard, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me.
What actions are you taking to change these things? Exactly. You know what I mean? You're 10 points deep. Yeah. You've two bags of ching in your pocket. Like, what are we doing
exactly
here?
Exactly. I'm not like, I don't know. It might be an unpopular opinion, but it's true. When you have to work for your happiness, man, you really start realizing how easy it is for it to get taken away from you, from other people's energy and other people's bullshit. It's not worth it. It's
weird that in this year now, this is my most successful year of my life this year now. And it's the year I've spent the least amount of time socializing. It sounds horrible. It's just the case has been when I get freelance work, it's on the weekends. I'm trying to do the podcast, all these things. Yeah. And I don't see my mates as much. I'm similar to you. I have a crew of the same lads we've known for the last 10 years. Yeah, but at this age now, people are starting to drift away. I've mates have moved away abroad, got married. I might see them once every 5 years. But you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And now the mainly one of my mates I see a lot has a kid, runs a successful business, very rarely drinks. Like Sunday we'll grab a coffee, go to a park and stuff like that. Mm. And it's annoying that the more successful you become, you're like, this is what it takes. And you're like, so everything I thought was making me happy when I was younger, it's all bollocks.
Yeah.
And it's all this shit. The yoga. I'm not even saying the yoga's thing, but more the mindset of like self-improvement, healthy, putting the right things into your body mindset. And it's just, I can see why that would be disheartening to people when they go, everything I knew is just doing me the more damage, you know?
Yeah.
So depressing, this podcast, like, holy shit.
I know, let's touch on things. That's what I think. I'm a very emotional person.
Same.
I am 100%. And this is thing. These are things I like speaking about. I think it's important that people speak more about it because, like I said, it's like, if you had an older brother growing up, like, you'd want to be hearing shit from them. If you haven't got one, it's nice to hear from someone else, you know. Mm. But everybody's different. People, you have to really want to change. Also, the whole night, the whole party situation scene thing, like, it's...
Are you happy at all that you let it hang out so much that you're like, I know I'm not missing anything. I did every one of those things. You know, you get to people who are like 40 years old and go, I married my college sweetheart. I had a kid real early. I never did that. And they go, I wish I could have done what you did. But now you have the perspective to be like, you actually did all the things correctly. You know what I mean?
This is a question I've been thinking about. I've been asking myself as well. And the only kind of answer I come up with, not so much that I've let it all hang out. More so the fact that it's made me aware of who I need to be with, who I need to spend time with, and also aware of the lack of support from people within the city. Mm. See me, Wheelo, and that, like, the reason we click and get on so well is because if he's doing good, I'm so happy to see that. Mm. If I'm doing good, he's messed me straight away. So happy to see it. He's buzzing for it.
Yeah.
People have insecurities. And when I see people doing good, I see people as well that are like, I've heard it, that are unhappy that I'm progressing what I'm doing because they're insecure in their own business, their own carry on, you know? I feel bad for them because this place needs, like, Dublin would be so much better if everybody supports each other. There's enough food for everybody to eat here.
There's room at the top, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, by no means, sorry, my nose keeps running here now. The wind. Jesus Christ.
That hay fever.
Pollen counts off the charts. But there's enough room for everybody to, like, sit down, work away, be at the top. You know what I mean? There's enough space for everybody. Yeah, people, it's even when you hear, like, I've heard stories come back to me made up about me, and I'm like, why? Like, it doesn't bother me. I laugh out because I'm like, you're able off your head making up stories, and I'm sitting here doing something that's progressing. Like, I'm saying yes to every opportunity I'm getting, putting the work in.
Mm.
Within my morals, of course. I'm not gonna do some
right. And if you could just remove the pants as well, Luke. Yeah,
they're already off.
Pants.
I'm getting carried away here now, but the whole question of, I'm not happy that I let it hang out as much as I did. I do think there's a lot of people that I would have rather, I'd love to still have in my life now. And I feel like I'd have a much better relation with them now than I did a couple of years ago.
Do you wish you could take them with you in a weird way?
I do indeed, yeah. Mm. Like, I know you're not meant to hold on to the past or whatever, but how else are you going to learn, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some of my heartbreak I've had through people I've missed, people I've loved that I've messed up. And thinking about that is what's making me be like, fuck that, I'm not going down that line again. Mm. I'm on my own, like, I'm single Pringle, and I am loving being on my own.
What was your intro to martial arts, and why did you want to start doing martial arts and Muay Thai in specifically?
So, growing up in secondary school, my mates were very able fighters, do you know what I mean? And obviously, going back to the whole how you used to dress kind of thing, like, I kind of looked like a bit of a weakling there. So I feel like people wouldn't really go near me because my mates were like that.
Hard cons, yeah.
Yeah, and then I would never play off. I'd be like, meh, meh, meh. I used to hate my friends fight. Even when I'm, like, anytime I haven't fought outside in ages, thank God. But when I was, I think I was about 17, 18, I was smoking shitloads of weed. I was super insecure. My anxiety came back. I'd suffer. Hence why I cried every single day going to school. I was such, like, without fail, every day.
Were you popular in school?
Primary school, no. They're like, why does this freak keep on crying?
I'm not going back to when you were eight. Like, but when
secondary school, I had loads of friends.
Boys and girls?
Yeah, boys and girls, yeah. But I was in town. I was in Hangar, I think it was. Or maybe it was before Hangar. I can't remember what it was. That building, anyway. And I was sitting down on the ground talking to some girl, and this fella came up and, like, was getting lippy with me, and I was like, fuck off, wait me, like, wait me, whatever. Mm. And he grabbed me by the wrist, and I was trying to sit up, and I couldn't. And I was like, felt real overpowered. Mm. So I was like, fuck that. I was like, next time that happens, I'm going to punch his head off. I'm like, do you know what I mean? So I started training with 309 Pang Maloy. And
fuck, that's, yeah, that's a real shit.
They were, man, I don't know, when I walked in the gym, just, they were so panicking, nerves, man.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
And it was just like, no need to be. Man, they're so happy to have some new, like my little brother, he started 2 or 3 weeks ago, man. Mm. And walking in, being looked after, they're not going to bait you. That's not about, like, it doesn't happen with 309.
They also want repeat business. They don't want to come in, bait the face off you. They want to give you that balance of reality and also, like, we want to encourage you to come back and do more.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, the passion is there from, like, Mick, Jay, Baba, Keane, Christina, all these. I could keep naming everybody in there. I'm so sad that I can't train because of my back past 2 years. But I just walked in and it just gave me confidence. And that's actually something I wanted to say in the podcast. Well, my journey to that was because I felt overpowered. I felt weak. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to learn how to just look at myself. Like, not go out, because anyone that does any martial arts, you don't go looking for fights at all. You realize you don't have to show
if you have a decent teacher, they're teaching you to not.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Stop head kicking kids. All right, lads?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I went back to primary school to start teaching yoga and elbowing them. Or not. But yeah, it's taught me how I'm able to go to the point where I need to stop, where I'm like, physically I'm drained. Mm. I can't get my hands up to go beyond that, which has impacted my running so much as well. Mm. Even my first fight as well, I was so happy to get in there. Like, and I was like, oh shit, like this is mental, man. I was like, I'll never do this. Mick in particular as well, through his training, has really helped me build my confidence up and my mental strength. Mm. Like, that's why if you look even at like Jay Council as well, even with him like doing his running, his training, like that mental strength he has, like that's, if I go out on a run, it impacts that. Like even last Friday, I just went out running for the crack. Man, I wanted to stop for not even a numerous amount of times, but for an hour straight, I was like, this is not getting any better. The waves, the hurdles, they're gone. I'm just literally running out of wall here. But your brain doesn't let you do that. You're like, no, I'm going to get past this. It makes you feel powerful. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's, not that you need to be reassured in who you are, what you are, but it's really helped strengthen my mind.
What's it done for your ability to be comfortable in public and know now versus the situation you had when you wanted to start?
Oh, yeah,
you're now like, if it kicks off, it can kick off if it has to. I'd rather it didn't, but if it does, no problem.
Yeah, it's given me a lot of comfort with that as well, because like I think before, I never really gave a shit about what people thought anyway. Mm.
That's a fucking superpower, by the way. Just so,
but you know why it is, man. It's because I don't care what anyone thinks, man. I guarantee, and this isn't like a whoa kind of thing. Like, I don't care what people think, because I know if you dislike me or hate me, I guarantee I hate myself 10 times more at times. I've definitely thought worse of myself than anybody physically, mentally.
You can't say anything worse I haven't said to myself.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no one can put me in a worse situation or a worse state than I've put myself in already. You know. Which is why I don't care what people think. I appreciate people's support so much to the ground. People have been so supportive of me as well. Mm. But at the end of the day, it boils down to me. It's me versus me the entire time, day in, day out. And that's what's destroyed me. And that's what's brought me to where I am now. And that's what's built me up. Mm. As for being in a social setting, I've never cared what people thought. Yeah, I've been anxious. I've been nervous walking to a party. You know, you swear eye makeup, red eye, like black eyeliner, red eyeshadow and fishnet clothes. Like PVC trousers.
Nailing everyone's girlfriends. Like.
No. But yeah, pretty much now I could walk in and wearing a jock strap and I wouldn't give a bollocks because I can swing my leg higher.
That's actually weird. This is completely off topic, but something that just happens. You'd be an expert in this. I'm trying to get my fucking hips stronger. I have very weak hip flexors in general. When I see people kicking high kicks, like being able to do the splits like super wide, is that just a repetition thing? Is that just like focus on stretching all the time? Or did you?
It's consistency.
Like, is it? Yeah.
You'll have people saying at least 3 days a week, man, you've got the time to do it. If you can, you can stretch at home. Man,
no, it's not. I'd be keen to, I'm keen to put the time into it.
I think 7 days a week, constantly. Mm. Same with diet. I suppose the diet is, that's another thing, but when you start building on your hips, when I was training Thai boxing in Muay Thai, I was, my hips were so stiff and sore, and I was running as well. So my my hips weren't the best. Man, yoga is mental. You feel it. Like, you feel it so much, like, the improvement when it comes to walking up the stairs, when it comes to running, when it comes to going training, anything it might be. I could actually send you on a list of things to do.
Do that. Right. Sam's journey to high kicking someone in the jaw, like, because it is something, man, that, like, it's weird. I'm jealous you did it at such an early age. You were like, I want to be more confident being able to look after myself, because now I'm in that stage where I'm like, getting to like 30 odd. It's outside, it's fucking mental in the world right now. And you just never know when some bloke's going to, like, you need to be able to just be able to throw a teep up the middle and be like, get the fuck away from me. Like, you know,
it's even, I don't like fighting at all. Anytime it's happened outside and stuff, or I've hurt someone at all or anything like that, I just feel, man, I sat crying out straight. Like, I'd be honest. I think it's stupid. I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, why? Like, you never want to hurt someone at all. And it's just, that's why I love what I'm doing now, the yoga. You're not hurting anybody. You know, you're just giving people love. Like, yeah. Sorry. Unless they don't pay me.
You mentioned that. We might as well go into it. What was your first introduction to yoga and the motivation to first start pursuing that as as an activity before you even saw it as a job, you know?
It's two parts, I suppose. The first time I ever went to yoga was when I was training for my first fight. And I was flat. I was running flat. I was so committed to it. And I was in Floyfe, going in there just doing classes. I went to yoga class. I was like, this is actually pretty good. Never went back again. When yoga clicked with me was like pretty much the second time I went to it ever. I was about a year and a half ago.
Jesus, and it's not long.
I went in. Yeah, it's fairly fresh. I was in a car crash 2.5 years ago. Mm. I needed Thai boxing. I needed running to keep my head straight. And I still battled with my escapism through drugs and alcohol every weekend or every couple of days. I couldn't run. I couldn't do that stuff at all. Mm. Well, after the car crash, I ran every day, 10K a day, and then did a marathon. After I did the marathon, I couldn't breathe anymore because I apparently had broken ribs. So that was kind of dirt. But I couldn't train and my back started giving in then. I was like, I genuinely thought, like, I'm not gonna last 6 months. I'll be dead in 6 months.
You've found something you love in like exercise and Thai boxing and all that, and then that gets taken away and you go, what the fuck?
Exercise, and what I've realized is exercise and Thai boxing, running. Running is the best thing in the world. I don't care who says that's, I love yoga. Running is the best thing ever. It makes you feel powerful. It lets you think about your problems, issues with a blanket around you. You can look at this ball of anxiety or depression that you might have with this massive support behind you as you're running. It's mental. Mm. Obviously, that and yoga together is a recipe for pure and utter happiness and content. That's all it is. But I cannot stress enough like how important it is to do it. And when I was at my worst I've ever felt, April, May, like I'm like, every night I'm gone. I'm out here. I don't want to be here in the morning. To just taking that initiative to just push out one day. Just run 5K today. Mm. Practice yoga on your own. Do these things. To doing it every day. Mixing up kettlebells. Filling up every single... it's healthy. If people say it's unhealthy to live life that way, you can have a chocolate bar, a cake, all this shit. Fuck that shit. Mm. If you're not happy, you have to change these things, man. Mm. Change your diet. Whole foods diet is what I do now. Yeah, maybe once a week I go out for food or whatever. Whole foods diet. I run kettlebells, yoga every single day, no matter what. That works for me because I feel like shit otherwise.
First thing in the morning, you running?
I love first thing in the morning because I tend not to like blow on and leave myself goose.
I feel like I have to get out of my head first thing in the morning. Like,
anytime's great. Like, if I want to do a long run, if I want to just cruise.
Or a little evening run, maybe when you finish just before bed, I can't sleep. I'm going to hit the fucking...
Man, you can go for as long as you want then, because you don't have to go to work. That's what I did last Friday. I was out for 4.5 hours, something like that, running, because I was like, just going for a cruise. It's great.
Run to Wexford.
Yeah. Next stop, Kingswood. On Cage Sadella.
I'm actually going to miss Monday. Actually run to Wales.
Yeah.
When you've gone through this little...
Sorry, I keep skewing from the questions all entirely, bro. I'm sorry about that.
Fuck the questions. It's all shit. I were on ChatGPT 20 minutes ago. When you first went through like this kind of change in priorities, let's say, how does your ideal life look now? If you were looking forward 5 years and how you wanted your life to be structured, well, what does that look like for you now?
These questions are all things I've kind of the past month have come to me and I've been trying to figure it out. Like, ideally, like the next, well, on the 13th of August, I'm moving to Morocco for 2 months to work with my office job over there with my laptop. That's the first step. That's going to be a point of kind of figuring out what I want to do after that. Mm-hmm. As it stands now, after that, I'd love to go kind of go. I'd love to go.
I'd love to fight for the Orange of Ireland.
I'd love to hop over to Asia for like 6 months.
Yeah.
When I come back from
that. You come to me as an Asia guy.
Yeah. Well, I've never been.
That's surprising. Have you? I see you on a beach in fucking Phuket. Like.
Yes. I don't know. Bear in mind my lifestyle. I was in out relationships loads. Mm. I was taking loads of drugs, drinking loads, still keeping a job, doing this, that, the other, piss my money away, do you know? And
I know that game.
Yeah. So what are you doing later on? But yeah, Asia for a couple months. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to decide to go to college again or do an apprenticeship. As for a trade or something. And then 40, cafe, yoga studio, happy life, just chilling.
It's weird. My missus thinks, she's like, you got your life all wrong. I can see you running like an Airbnb or like a little bed and breakfast. And just, I get a buzz out of looking after people. And there's a part of me that would be like, there's a part of me still there that would be like, that'd be such a lovely, if everything else goes to shit, that I'd run something like that.
You can do that. Like, that's what I'm thinking, man. Like, yeah, I teach yoga, I work in sales, and then I'm going to potentially do an apprenticeship, get a trade, and then I want to open a cafe. Man, I don't want to have the same job for the rest of my life.
No, but it's so there hard to
steps
know.
To get to it. You need to have it broken into steps. You have one step, second step, third step, fourth step, and so on.
Yeah.
Like, and then you've got 3-4 different professions, skills that you can fall back on if things turn to shit.
It's such an anti, like, the old mentality would be get into a good job, and then when you've put 10 years in there, then you're going to get a good salary, and then you can start to grow your wealth. And now, like, the other side of that is be rich in experiences.
Why is there so many miserable adults rocking around then? Do you know what I mean? Like, go back to earlier on. Why are like so many people, if you see someone doing good, someone's driving a nice car, oh yeah, but he's this and that. Right, Grant, fuck off. Like, do you know? You have to think what you really want in your life. Yeah, I really want to be a yoga teacher, have my yoga studio, that'd be great. And have my cafe and all the stuff, that'd be amazing. Such a happy life. But the only way I'm going to get to that really and be able to have a house and so forth and so forth is by doing an apprenticeship, sacrificing 4 years to get that skill, you know? Like, yeah,
people don't like that part.
Of course, and let them be...
Delayed gratification, yeah.
There's a way to get things, it's just not going to be easy, you know? You have to be disciplined, and that's the most important thing is discipline. And all, well, discipline and actually listen to what you really want, because you know what you really want. Mm. You really do. You just have to block out the noise.
Mm.
It's like with yoga, like even with like the spiritual side of it, the psychological side of it, you're tapping into subtle energies. The reason why there's subtle energies is because you have to really focus on it and like brush out the noise outside to really get into it. So if you don't know what you want to do, you need to take yourself out of the situation you're in, the people you're in, maybe even potentially the job you're in. That's why I want to go away for a bit, to think about it and tap into that subtle energy, what I really, really want to my core. Because it's in there. You know yourself. You have your own belief in it. No matter, like, I doubt the shit out of myself all the time. But
I'm in that zone right now.
You don't know what you want to do. Like, what's your kind of, what would you really love to do?
It's so fucking hard, because like right now, everything in my head is saying you're doing all the right things. It's the most successful year you've had. You work for yourself. I have more opportunities coming like every month. And I'm like, okay, so is this it? And I just graft this for like 20 years, build up as much money as I can. Is that it? Or am I like, that's kind of why I'm like, I want to keep doing the podcast, even when it's not like massive. I'm like, I need to keep doing this because this actually makes me incredibly happy. This, I can't believe that I get to do this. Yeah. I love it. I actually love it so much. It's such a fucking buzz. I can't even explain it to people. And then I get comments being like, I get some fucking gas comments on my TikTok, man, being like, hey, you know, like, me and Wheelo did a pod, and he was like, hey bro, let's start a podcast. Like, the comments all being that and taking the piss out of me and Wheelo. But I get so much fulfillment and enjoyment out of this. It's mad. Just hearing other people's stories. And that's kind of, I went down the route a little bit of like influencers on this.
Yeah.
To try and chase the numbers. And then I did a couple, and I was like, I get way more out of this conversation or with someone that I have a little bit of a back and forth with, like Wheelo, or someone I've known a little bit. Yeah. Then I do asking a complete stranger, like, what's your TikTok strategy? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
social media doesn't matter.
But I'm tapped in enough. I have a very, you know, like an inner dialogue. You know, I have those all the time, and I'm walking around. I love a little walk in the evening now after this. I love to have a conversation with myself. And I feel at the end of it, I'm like, I've come to a settlement in it. But it's just a constant wanting of should I be doing more, or the question of that, you know what I mean? And where's satisfaction, you know what I mean? And where's the, okay, you can take a deep breath, you're doing well. It's just that I'm struggling to find that kind of peace, you know? And it's fucking hard, man.
You can always do more, but the thing is, you need to appreciate and be grateful in the present. Like, that's a big thing with yoga as well, and meditating. You're being present. Do you know what I mean? If you need to, you're doing great. You're working your ass off. You can always do more, but if you're happy with what you're doing right now, that's great.
Yeah.
There will come a time, and it'll naturally arise, where you'll have reached a point by saying, like I said, say yes to everything within your morals. Yep. You know, podcasts, photo shoots, whatever it might be. Yes, yes, yes. Charity events, whatever it might be. Just yes, 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 the entire time. If you're happy with what you're doing, it's going to lead you to something good, man. You know?
If this is my, I say that all the time, this is my job, Johnny. You know, my job, I get to get up every Monday. I own my day, and I may have work to do, but it's work that it's all in my own name. And all the more I work, the more I get rewarded for it. And I love that part of it. It's not like wage based where I put 40 hours in, my best or my worst, to get paid the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a little journey into my mind. It's all dark and full of cobwebs, but here we go.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah. We went through a little bit that I wanted to change, but one of the big things I wanted to chat to you about was, number one, I saw you whip off your, I had a deep dive through your Instagram, and I saw you whip off your shirt for one of your tattoos, and you were like bloodied up to bits. I think it's your big like dark lines when they have on you.
What, I
have this weird little experience where like I got a lot of tattoos about 5 years ago. And at the time I thought I understood the reason why I got them. And then as my life progressed, weirdly the tattoos that I have started to almost like manifest themselves, and I'm like, wow, that's so weird that I actually have that as a tattoo now. Do you find that at all, like as you had them when you were younger and now it goes into
Man, definitely. Like, it's weird, in particular it? That one, that was my first one. Yeah, that was
that was your first tattoo.
Mental, man. Some apartment in Paris and 2 a.m. getting absolutely smashed up. I was getting pinned down, man, by one of the lads, and he was like, that man
smoking fags, just like,
that's what he said. I walked in, he goes, so what are the tattoos have you got? I was like, no. And he goes, right, Lazarus, this fella doing a guest spot over there, he goes, go over and in his apartment, he goes, go down to the shop, get a liter of Smirnoff and 40 Marble Reds. I was like, why? And he was like, you're gonna need them. I just started drinking it. But it's mad how that's what I always think as well. Like, there's my arms are only the past 2 months getting these done. I never wanted to get my arms done, but then I don't know, all of a sudden I was like, get me as well.
Too much of a bitch to do anywhere else except my arms. Yeah. Like,
getting the belly done, that was horrific. But they all mean something. Well, the big one means a lot to me. At the time, it was more my hatred towards, I don't believe in, it was kind of like an anarchist kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything more than what we're doing right now. Everything is just pointless kind of.
We all have that.
But I also loved the look of it. I was like, that looks fucking deadly.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, at the time I was thinking like, how is the devil so bad when this is how away I was at the time? Like, how is the devil so bad when he just likes it and does and things that he likes doing? Like, that was my argument, bro. I was like, God takes my family members away from me prematurely. He kills people. He makes people depressed. He made me so sad and upset. How is he even real? I don't believe in him.
Who would do this to someone they love? This, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe in it. In, I suppose God is supposed to say, but like, I believe in something. There's definitely something there.
Yeah.
And I believe that people say, oh, you'll guide, you'll end up there. It all works out in the end. That doesn't happen. It's not going to all work out in the end if you're doing what I was doing, drinking, drugging all the time. Doesn't work out.
It's not at the bottom of that bag.
I actually sent myself the new rhythm because I did this sometimes. If something comes into my mind, the other day I had the best night of my life lying in bed. I was so happy and content. I sent myself voice messages to the new rhythm page so I could listen back to them. And listened to them yesterday and I was smiling and I was so, so happy. Because even I said, like, you have to, like, things aren't all just going to work out. The way I was living my life, things weren't going to work out. I have to live my life this way. And when I live my life this way, I believe that I'm going in the right direction. Things are going to work out because I'm putting the work in. You're not just going to be gifted your happiness. Like I said, I work for my happiness physically, emotionally, mentally, as do so many other people.
You earn it almost.
You earn it, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I said, people get up at 4:30 in the morning for the gram. Do you know what I mean? Or else they get it because they have to, you know? That's it. Like,
do you have a... When we talked a little bit about like when you had to leave some of your mates behind to kind of find, you know, pursue the next part, it's part of the game a little bit. Did you at the beginning of that feel like I can make all these adjustments and still keep those people in my life at the start? And you try to
of course. And I was as bad, like, well, I'd say about a year ago I'm back. Mm. I was as bad for them as they were for me. Our relationship was bad. Do you know?
Yeah.
I loved them, but we just had bad habits. The past year, I decided to drop that. The past 6 months, like past 3 months even, I decided I don't care. I don't care how tough it is to drop someone. My priority is me. I want to have semi-final. Shout out Mick 309. What's up?
Mick's on next week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, I realize how important it is that you need to just do, like, I like teaching out. I like making people feel happy and good in that scene, in that kind of environment. You need to focus on what you want. I want to have kids. I want to have a wife, a girlfriend. I love that. That's my, like, that actually is my happy goal. That's when I'm there, I'm like, right, nothing could get any better than this. Mm-hmm. But as it stands so far, that's going to be a long time away because there's so much work after me on. But basically, I don't know.
Do you know what the bottom word I have on my sheet is?
Oh, spit on it, Tang.
It's part of that. It was love.
Oh, sorry, yeah, probably for throwing that up there.
But that's part. You got to spit on it when you're in love. But do you feel like potentially you may have left a good one behind through your antics when you were younger? Do you think you may have pushed by someone good or
100%?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's something I think about a lot as well.
I wonder if they'd like the person you are now. I wonder.
If I was the person I am now, I'd love for them to, like, I'd love if it happened when I am the person I am now.
If it could start fresh again.
Yeah. Mm. But then again, it's weird because where I'm at the minute, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship right now with anybody whatsoever.
You're not there yet.
I'm only beginning to understand and love myself. Yeah. I don't want to share myself with anybody. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I'm so happy
to be that for someone else where they rely on you, you know?
Exactly. I have so much that I own myself, so much work I put into myself that I need to go forward and do. Like, do you know that I'm not jeopardizing this for anything. Mm. Nothing at all. When I find the comfort and stability in my own self and trust and belief in my own self, like entirely, then I'll allow someone to come in. As much as I love relationships, man, there's nothing better than being with somebody, like, get to experience things with, going to new countries, trying new restaurants, all this stuff. I love that so much. Mm. And yeah, I miss that, but I much prefer what I'm doing right now at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. But love is the way.
I just got engaged there 2 months ago.
Unreal, congratulations,
man. And yeah, she's 6 out of 10 for sure. Like, love you, baby. No, she's the best thing that ever happened to me.
You're my boy, Blue.
To be straight up. And as you said, all the things you mentioned there, like, it's mad that, like, she's my best mate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to have kids with her, man, and have a family with her and all that. Why do you want to have kids? What part of that appeals to you? Is it the whole thing?
I just think they're the most amazing things ever, man. Same. Like, the way they just go on. Like, they have no filter. They're so pure. Even getting to work with, the kids that are 4 and 5 in the primary school, man. Mm. Like, in the preschool. They're so cute, curious, adventurous, and there's no weight around their mind or their thoughts, you know. Mm. Some kids do have.
It hasn't been corrupted yet. It's just.
Exactly, yeah. Corrupted, which is so nice to see. And I just like the idea. I just want to be able to, like, have my kids, have that love. I just want to be with them all the time and just watch them grow and become their own selves and be able to help them and just experience things with them. It's like, imagine a wife, a girlfriend who you love so much, but. Sorry, imagine anything.
She's now 7.
Yeah.
But I get the idea that you're going to be able to instill that all these love, great, like, things. Yeah.
That's a different type of love that I'm dying to experience.
You're going to have so much life experience to be able to instill in those kids as well. Like,
yeah.
When they're like, I'm just going to meet friends. Then it's just a party.
I'm coming with you. Where's my car keys?
My brother used to do this thing where he'd be like, Mum, can I have the lads over to play darts in the house? Play darts. And they come in, he'd lock the door weirdly. And then, like, she'd be like, it smells like beer in here. And like, just playing darts, man. Get out of here. But like, yeah, I don't think there's anything they can run by me now as a parent. You say that, and then they'll start doing new bits. But as we wrap it up, we're in our final third. You said you're an emotional person.
Yeah.
I have a new segment on the show. It's our only segment that I started today. It's called Soundtrack to My Life. I'm a big, music's a big part of my life and how I...
I'm going
to
ask what your favorite song is.
Well, like, how I go through my day is kind of dictated by what kind of music I'm listening to, depending on what my mood I'm in. I want to kind of go back and forth on, like, it doesn't have to be a specific song, but even a specific artist that you would go to in these specific, when you have these specific feelings, okay?
Oh, yeah, I like this.
So if you were feeling heartbroken, what kind of artist are you going to kind of, like, feel?
Oh,
he doesn't like it.
Oh, this is just two in my mind.
I'll give you a couple of my. I get horrible abuse for my music taste, man. But like Adele opens my heart. Like that's all I'm gonna say.
Does she?
Yeah.
She's hot. If you feel emotions, that's like feel it.
She'll drop in like when we were young or something like that. An acoustic on the piano. Mm. Jesus Christ, I'll be. Like, I love it. I love it driving down the road, singing songs loud as I can in my car, like listening to something, yeah. Just tears streaming.
That's, I think that, yeah, there's certain songs that hit you. Like, there's, I like some songs from Cranbourne and then Gregory Allen Isaacar. I sat listening to lately, man. Oh my God, I can't tear up every time. And
yeah.
I'm walking down the road, I'm like, Gregory Allen Isaacar probably would be the one I listen to now if I'm feeling like I want to get something now heartbroken, you know?
When you were prepping for a fight and you had a fight in 10 minutes and you were about to walk out, like what kind of music you listen to in there?
In the white room.
Is that
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so, were you like, oh man, I can't even get over that you used to fucking scrap. Like it's mad. Like when you were like, as particularly your first one, are you like, man, what the fuck have I just got myself
my
into?
My ego took over completely. It was buzzing. Not even ego. I was just excited, man. I was so happy to do it. I was like, I felt like, first of all, having that belief from my coach, be like, yeah, go and do it. And it was a pro-am fight, so there was no shin pads or anything, and there was elbows, and there was pads in the elbows. And I was like, this is mental, man. And a stage and all that. I'm a showman as well. I was like, I love this stuff. But I only got two fights, man. And then was training for the third one, and then COVID. And then car crash.
Yeah.
And then there was nothing. But
do you think, was there any part of you when you were doing it, you were like, man, this is me. I'm going to be a fucking fighter. Do you know what I mean? Or was it just an activity you enjoyed?
It was just an activity I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I love being with the people in there. I love being in that gym, man. I said on the last podcast as well, I love them so much. There's just such a sense of support in it. Like it's different to anything. Like yoga's great, but yoga's a personal solitary practice.
Mm.
You know? You can teach people in groups. That's what I like to include people in my yoga. I like having people having fun and stuff. But yeah. When it comes to that, man, it's like I know this is like cliche, but it's family, like, do you know what I mean? Mm. Everybody cares about you, wants to see you do better.
Especially when you're sparring, there's no, you can't get any closer than I'm going to fight you as hard as I can today on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's both try and get better, and hopefully I don't fucking knock you out, like, you know.
Mm.
When you were first kind of, you don't want to go into the car crash stuff, do you? Like, talk about that at all?
To some degree, I'm not going to say exactly what happened on it, but
you don't have to go into it, bro. You don't want to. It's just,
in some way, a kind of attempt to just end it.
Oh, fuck.
You know, that's what it was.
Yeah.
True, a lot of stuff. But yeah, it was mental.
Are you, like, if you can go, I get, like, if you didn't believe in a higher power and stuff like that, like you said, you've talked a lot about, you had those moments of like suicidal thoughts and stuff like that, but every time nothing materialized out of it.
Yeah, because when it comes to, like, I'm sitting there thinking about it, if I'm in a point where I'm like, right, this is it, like, I don't want my friends to come back from Australia because they have to pay thousands to come home because to a funeral, or else not come and feel guilty about it. Mm. I don't want my family to be left. I don't want my brother or sister has been left without a brother. I don't want them to suffer with that. And that's actually the charity that I'm choosing to raise money for the 100K is HUG, which is basically like a support group for people who have lost people due to suicide. But it just never materialized because I just didn't want to leave my family like that, you know? And as much as I was, I'd rather me suffer for the rest of my life than end it. And it comes points where I was like, right, this is what I said to myself. I'm going to spend the next month disciplined, training, change my diet, healthy, and just work.
Let's see how that works.
And if I still want to do it at the end of the month, I'll do it. Mm. Man, fuck that. I feel amazing now. Yeah. I'm so, in the space of a month, how it can change that much, man.
It's mad, isn't it? It's a permanent answer to a temporary problem, to do, you know?
Like, and I said it on the last week, it feels sad to go exercise. I understand sometimes it's not that easy. Like, you have to overcome adversity, you know? And if you're depressed and stuff, obviously, I always wanted to take medication. I'm so against medication personally for myself and against other people's. I was considering that as well. I was like, I need something, man. I'm going mental here. Like,
it seems to be too quick an answer. People are too quick to. No, sorry, I meant more the medication side of like they're very quick to be like, let's get you on Zoloft. See how that does, and let's just fucking zap you.
Get that into you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I may as well go do an eight on the weekend. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know how to do drugs. I'm trying to get off them.
Any more of them? Yeah. but it's important that people, like, that's what I want to raise money for HUG. So support for families who've lost people due to suicide. That's so important.
Talk to me about this 100K. What's the plan?
Just going to lash it out. I'm going to smash it. Like,
what's your timeline for it?
I want to do 10 hours, but we'll see.
Jesus, man.
But the 50 was done with, I didn't bring food or water with me. Like, I just went
down. How long did it take you?
4 hours, 40 minutes.
Where'd you do?
I ran from Farnham to into town, up to Chapel Lizard from the Keys,
Jeez.
Back down towards Tree Arena, out towards Sandy Mount, up towards O'Leary, then back towards RDS, back towards McGough, Ratmines, then another loop. And then, yeah. But I loved every minute of that, man.
Mm.
But that's like, I don't really, this, the 100K, that wasn't the time. I was just cruising. I was talking to the camera the whole time.
Yeah.
The 100K, I'm going to be bringing water with me then. Like,
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need it.
I'm just going to make sure I'm trained for it. I'm going to prep myself properly. Now I did, my foot is smashed up at the minute, but that's fine. It just happens when you're training for anything, I feel. Mm. But yeah, I'm going to make sure I'm eating during the run, drinking during the run. And I don't see why I couldn't do 10 hours. It's something, if I enjoy it, like I love running. I don't see this as a thing that's going to be like super, like, I'm not going to not enjoy doing it.
Mm.
There's going to be points where I'm like, I need a smoke or something, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
When I finish, yeah, man,
rip a dart.
Like, yeah.
50K.
Yeah, someone on the bike next to me.
That'd be me. Hit Put me. The vape down inside. Like,
oh, yeah. Little ass.
Yeah. No, it's all right. Give me a kick. It's only a pre-workout. How do you find, like, particularly with the charity and stuff like that? Like, I only spoke to my girlfriend recently. She was shocked to hear that, like, the number one killer of, like, men under 35 is suicide. I told her that.
Yeah.
Horrified.
It's like 500 people, like, a year or something.
She was even saying, she was like, I can't believe that's a stat. And only now, it's mad, like, I'll know that because I talk to so many lads about it. But it, on the female side particularly, I don't know if they're that aware of it. So, like, stuff like this is fucking huge, man.
Well, that charity itself, it's founded by a woman who her 11-year-old daughter actually took her own, like.
Is this the girl who got bullied online?
I'm not sure.
I think I've seen her on a podcast. I think I've actually seen her talk about it.
But, like, man, obviously as well with the men, like, men side of things as well, like, it is messed up, man. Like, for someone to feel that way, like, I felt like that and I haven't done it because I, like, imagine, for people to feel like that's their only option, do you know what I mean? It's
terrifying.
It's actually, like, unacceptable. Do you know what I mean? It does not, like, with social media, especially younger kids now, like, there's so many people are insecure.
We're lucky we weren't. We're the last, the last great childhood period before phones. And now it's like, I have a sister, my dad remarried, and my sister's 10, and she's going through, like, TikTok and girls commenting on TikToks being like, oh, I don't like her, and, like, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, I have to worry about the 10 lads in my estate. You know what I mean? Maybe giving me shit when we were younger. Now it's like there's access constantly to just ripping people down, man. It's fucked.
It's easy for me to say because I've built my confidence up through doing things. You know, so I'm looking back and I'm like, if someone comments something on my page or anyone says anything bad about me, I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me to the slightest.
If you were 10, you'd be
But exactly. And that's why I'm so, like, it is unacceptable that people have to feel that way, you know? And I don't know, like, it's all well and good raising money for it and stuff, but, like,
well,
if people feel that need to do that, like, if you feel that low, I don't know. It's certainly not on their end. You can't blame them for it. You can't blame people for doing that whatsoever. Like,
it's more so the disappointment of, like, fuck, if you could have 15 more minutes now after it and, like, all the people around you, almost if you could do it and then also come back and get all the feeling of it, then you'd almost get the best of it. But it's such a permanent solution to a problem, you know? When is the run taking place?
27th of July, yeah.
Right, well, there is 14 or 15 very anxious fans ready to get involved in that. So I'll chuck the. Do you have a GoFundMe or something like that? Like a link up?
I'm going to have it all post up tomorrow.
I'll chuck it into this won't go live until, like, next Wednesday. So I'll throw that in the description as well.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Numbers will go fucking through the roof, baby.
Get it up.
Man, for the next year, apart from your run, what's your number one goal for the year?
My number one goal for the year is
find a nice Moroccan girl.
Oh, they're the most beautiful.
You need to relax. Like, you're gonna be a shit show over there, man.
I'm not falling in love for a very long time. But I'm happy about
that's what happened. Yeah, you say it, and then someone will bump into you. They'll
be like, I don't know. My next goal for next year, like, I guess this time next year, I want to have decided whether I'm gonna either going to start teaching Irish and skills, or if I want to take the route of just doing a trade and just making enough money so I can get a gap and then eventually open a cafe, yoga studio down the line
and live the fucking dream, man.
Yeah, I want to be I am going to be well traveled by then. I will be. I've been away. I'll have experienced new things, and I'll be definitely. I'm so happy now, man. Yeah. Do you know? Like, I'm so happy now. I'm like,
What do you think about? We'll finish on this. What do you think about Dublin right now as a place to live? Like, are you still in love with the city and Ireland as a country? Do you see yourself potentially living somewhere else? Do you have a conflicted kind of relationship with it?
I'm trying to love Dublin. Same. I'm struggling to. I feel like it's hurt me a lot. I think that there is a serious amount of anger and upset in the city. Like I said earlier on, there's not enough support, not like support from like the government, support from this and that, support from people themselves, from each other. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that'd rather see someone fail than succeed. And it's so, that's terrible.
The tone has changed, I felt, a little bit since I kind of post-COVID.
No community.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's mental. There's so much sourness with people, and it's just obviously I'm delighted I can detach from these people. I'm so happy that I am the way I am. I've got a group of mates who are like, we all want to see each other do great,
but that's what makes a good group of people. The vast majority are in that other group.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, all I can say, if you feel insecure because someone is doing good, you're not doing enough yourself. The only way you're going to be happier is if you do what you really want to do and do more yourself. Don't try to drag someone down. Keep your mouth shut, quiet, stay to yourself. If you're not going to support someone, it's too much bullshit going on now. And it's sad because, like I said, right now, Dublin City hurts me a lot. It's so sad. So much potential. And people point the finger, the council, government, this, that, or the other. It starts with us, do you know what I mean? If we came together as a community of people and actually like supported one another, things would change, you know? But you don't want to see the fella that grew up on your road, same age, driving a nice big car.
That could be my house. That could be my car. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't have a gaff. I don't even have a car anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So what? Who cares? I'll get the bus with a smile on my face now until I'm sorry. Do you know?
You can throw those razor elbows. Anything goes down there. You on top bus still? You go top deck of the bus still? Are you old enough to go low now?
Top bus now I am. Yeah, I'm not old enough to go down the bottom.
But it comes.
I can't wait. That's what I want. Yeah. Back driving again. Please God.
Oh shit, yeah, you know, they're on the streets. Like, I walk everywhere now. I only live about 10 minutes away, so I'm...
Man, that's why I love running.
I hit the streets.
You want to go to the beach? Let's go 40k run to the beach.
Yeah. Put on fucking 50 cent, like...
Could you describe yourself with one word? Right in this moment. Not from like before, from what you feel right now. Who do you think you are right now? One word. Descriptive word.
Lucky.
Yeah?
I think
Unreal.
So.
Unreal.
I think right now, I think the last like... This year, got engaged. My brother's a freak. He outshines me in like every front. He's a more like conscious person, does better professionally, has big focus on his friends. The only thing he's struggling on is finding a girl right now because he has too much choice because he's better.
It sounds like an inspiration to you though.
He's better looking and better looking, thinner, fucking cooler, all those things. But like I feel very lucky to have my family, my girl, my work fulfills me. And I have mates that hate their job. I think that's a bit, going back to like grateful, maybe even grateful would be the word I'd use.
Yeah.
If this is all I have and all I have to do is just continue to work my hardest at that, I feel like I found my rhythm in the last year.
Yeah.
Now you do it.
Oh, shit, man. So first of all, I'm so happy to hear that from you, man. That's unreal.
That wouldn't have been the answer 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mad how things get better. Mm-hmm. That things get better.
Just break into tears.
Sad. I'd say right now where I am in my life, I am well and truly fearless.
Yeah.
Fearless. Nothing fazes me or bothers me at all. Everything is go, 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 and nothing's going to get in my way with it.
Fuck.
I think.
That's powerful, man. That's fucking sick. I think we should leave it at that.
Yeah. Thanks so much, man. It was amazing. Your place or mine?
I feel like I just had a fucking therapy session, man. I feel great. We do a deep breath together.
Yeah.
I want to thank you all for listening.
Thanks so much for having me over.
Thank you. I want to thank your ears, your eyes. Remember you did that with Wheelo and all? Your eyelashes. Relax your thoughts.
Relax your foreskin.
Remove your pants.
And you're under.
All right, that's it. All right. Love you all for listening. Thank you so much. We'll have the link to his... to the fundraiser for Hug as well down in the description, so fucking donate. And you've got lucky, I'm doing very well right now. You got $5,000 from me, right?
Yeah, lovely stuff. Put it there, baby. Should be shook on it.
Invoice me for it. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, yeah. Right, Monopoly money only, baby.
Talk to you later, lads.
Thanks so much. That's love.